Yesterday, the passing of a college football legend, a man who not only meant a lot to South Florida, meant a lot to the game of football as a whole, and certainly meant a lot to us in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, and all of us at ESPN 106.3. Howard Schnellenberger, the innovator, the architect, dead at the age of 87. And today, we remember him, tell stories about him, and we share our memories of him on ESPN 106.3. Welcome in to our remembrance of Howard Schnellenberger. I am Ken Levicka alongside Brian Rowitz, and we are honored to discuss the life of Howard Schnellenberger. We are streaming on the free ESPN app and, of course, on your smart speaker. And we come to you from the Phillips Point Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, right off the Intracoastal. Me, Ken Levicka, I am the play-by-play voice of Florida Atlantic, have been so since 2009, and spent the final three seasons of Howard Schnellenberger's coaching career hosting coaches shows with him, hosting television shows with him, and, of course, providing the play-by-play of his program. Alongside me that entire time was Brian Rowitz, the executive producer of FAU football, but someone whose relationship with Coach Schnellenberger dates earlier than mine, when he was a part of student radio at Florida Atlantic. And Brian, we're going to talk to a number of friends, admirers, players under Howard Schnellenberger, but I wanted to talk with you about his impact on you and our relationship with him, because you and I together had some memorable moments with Howard Schnellenberger in only the way that Howard Schnellenberger can have memorable moments. Some were profound, some were hilarious, but we knew this was going to happen for a while now. His health had been deteriorating, so you knew you had to prepare yourself for this. But the fact that the day arrived and we knew what was coming, it didn't make it any easier. I found myself with sadness. I found myself with tears in my eyes before Howard's gravelly voice showed up into my head and I heard, "Would you stop?" I know he'd be angry. I know he'd be upset if we were sad about him, but it doesn't make this thing any easier.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. Same thing. I woke up to it where seeing the text, same thing, we're like, oh, you knew this was coming. And then just seeing the outpouring of love on social media from everyone, like national media, FAU guys, Miami guys, NFL guys, like he touched so many lives. And yeah, like the stories that you get from being around him, like, they bring a smile to your face. I think ultimately that's what today and, you know, moving forward, really it should be about, is just remembering those smiles that he brought everyone.
You know, the thing that really sort of occurred to me today is that he treated absolutely everybody, no matter their stature, no matter their profile, no matter what role they played in his life, the exact same. He treated Joe Namath and Jim Kelly and Alonzo Highsmith and Jeff Brohm and Rusty Smith and Jared Allen the same way that he treated me and you. He would sit in a room, he would talk, he would discuss football, he would joke around with you, he would bust your stones, and he did that to everybody, Hall of Famers and then guys like us.
Oh, without a doubt, like you mentioned maybe student radio, like one of my very first shows at the FAU student station was with him in studio, and he's sitting there with his, you know, Super Bowl rings and his national championship, just sort of clanking them together and answering questions from me. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but to him, he knew the student station was heard on this one area in campus. So maybe if one student heard him talking and realized there was a football game that week, then he did his job for that day. And that's the thing, like, no matter who you bumped into, I think you were the one that tweeted about how so many people have pictures with him because he always stopped. Like, he always had the time for every single person, because he was always the constant promoter. And that's why Miami is what it is today. Louisville is what it is today. And it's why FAU exists today.
You and I have been around a lot of high personality people. Mm-hmm. We've been in this business for an awful long time. But I still, to this day, maintain that I have never, nor will I ever be around someone who was as magnetic as Howard Schnellenberger. Whether it was the 75-year-old man with money in Boca, or the 19-year-old female college student walking the sidewalks at Florida Atlantic. He was someone that drew people to him. He was engaging. He was funny. He was a strapping gentleman, big and broad-shouldered with that deep baritone voice. You know, just like I do with our work with Florida Atlantic, there is still a group of people that are the most loyal to anybody that you'll ever find to Howard Snellenberger. They were there from the beginning of the FAU program. He sold them on the program, and they stayed with him for 21 years from the very beginning. I've never seen anything like it, a guy who appealed to so many generations of people, whether it was player or youngster or old person.
Yeah, I mean, he could command a room. I remember us being in Detroit for an FAU home game against Michigan State because the stadium wasn't ready yet, so they ultimately moved it to Ford Field. And the night before the game, we're at the hotel, and a group of like 30 or 40-year-olds recognizing him and going up to him and being so excited to see him. And this is, you know, what, 2010 probably at that point. So it's towards the back end of his career, but they were so happy to see this man and those suspenders and that mustache. And he did that everywhere. No matter where we were, there was always someone saying, wow, that's Howard Snellenberger. And I don't know if I fully appreciated the impact he had on everybody because of how close we were. Because I didn't look at him as this national icon, but you see it today and you're like, wow, like that guy was more of a grandfather to me than a national icon, but that's what he is, and that's when the outcry of love that we've seen the last 24 hours, and it's been cool to see that.
He was a politician who just so happened to have a revolutionary offensive football mind. That's the best way to describe Howard Snellenberger. He was something to everybody. And Howard Snellenberger, who coached until the age of 77 years old, his final year on the sideline was 2011, as he walked off of FAU, walked out of FAU Stadium for the final time, walked off of the field that will eventually bear his name, Howard Snellenberger Field, and Brian and I were there to call that one, and I still think about that final night, that loss to UAB that marked the end of his college coaching career, and I remember tearing up as the clock ticked down to zero, because that was it for truly a game-changing, college football-changing personality, character like Howard Snellenberger. But think about this. There is no resume, period, and never will be a resume like the one that Howard Snellenberger put together in college football. He was an All-American at Kentucky. He goes to Alabama. He's the offensive coordinator under Paul Bear Bryant. He recruits Joe Namath to the Crimson Tide. Then he heads to the NFL, short stint as an NFL head coach in Baltimore, and then is the offensive coordinator for the undefeated 1972 Dolphins. So I said college football, but this also, yes, spans into the pros. Then he takes over at Miami. They were about to wipe out that program. He brings it back off of life support, and he wins a national championship in year five. He goes to Louisville, which had absolutely no college football history, makes it a top five program. They beat Alabama in the Fiesta Bowl, goes on to Oklahoma, gets out of football after one doomed year at Oklahoma, and decides, I'm going to go to Boca Raton, and I'm going to start a college football program. First, I'm going to be a director of football ops and find the next head coach. Then I'm going to declare myself the next head coach. And he ends up putting together one of the quickest upstart early success stories in the history of college football with that mid-major Florida Atlantic. Nobody will have a resume like that ever again. He was truly a treasure.
Oh, without a doubt. And we'll talk about the Hall of Fame. That's one thing being mentioned. Like, it is a travesty that he's not in it because of a stupid number. And I almost hope they don't do the thing now where they're like, oh, well, he's passed away. Like, sorry, like, you're in now. Like, I almost hope they don't do it because he has impacted the game on so many levels that, like, everyone calls him a Hall of Famer anyway. Like, he doesn't need that fake recognition at this point. Like, that's what he is. Even here in Palm Beach County, like, we have a stadium in Palm Beach County. We host a bowl game in Palm Beach County because of him. Lamar Jackson is the Heisman Trophy winner at Louisville because Howard Snellenberger built Louisville. Devin Motor Singletary, the story goes, who knows, it's a Howard story, so you assume it's true, where he was a young man at a parade, Howard's on a float, he points to Motor and says, that's going to be a football player one day, and now he's playing on Sundays in the NFL, a guy coming from Delray going through FAU. Like, there is so many people across the entire country that have been impacted by Howard Snellenberger that he didn't even need to be, oh, you're a Hall of Famer now. Like, he is a Hall of Famer to everybody in college football.
I've never been around anybody with a presence like Howard Snellenberger. You mentioned when he walked into a room how he commanded the room, but there also is just a feeling about him, an aura around him, whether it's the sport coat, the suspenders, the mustache, the pipe. He was just the single most unique individual, and we certainly will miss him. But he is a legend who took Palm Beach County and called it home. And to me, Brian, he's our own. He is our own. We lost one of our own, but it just so happens that Brian and I also were able to have a very close and special relationship with Howard Snellenberger. So we celebrate his life today. We tell the stories of Howard Snellenberger. We give our memories and we talk to those who knew him best. Don Bailey Jr., the radio analyst, University of Miami football broadcast. You hear him on ESPN 106.3. Played center for Coach Snellenberger at Miami in the late 70s and early 80s. He will join us. We'll also hear from former FAU athletic director, now at Washington State, Pat Chun. Chris Bartels, who is my broadcast partner on the FAU football presentations. He was a starting safety, a defensive MVP under Howard Snellenberger, 2007, the Sun Belt Championship year. Mickey Grudy, former FAU punter, played under Howard Snellenberger. We have an awful lot of guests to talk to, an awful lot of people to get their stories from. Fred O'Connor, my former broadcast partner with FAU football, was on the initial coaching staff for Howard Snellenberger at Florida Atlantic. We will get his thoughts on the passing of his friend, Howard Snellenberger. But when we come back, we will talk with the man who jump-started, was able to kick back into high gear Howard Snellenberger's FAU program, and that is Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss head coach, the two-time Conference USA champion, FAU boss, joins us next. Lane Kiffin on the way as we remember the coach, Howard Snellenberger. He's Brian Rowitz. I'm Ken Lavica, and we are remembering the legend on ESPN 106.3.
Remembering Howard Snellenberger here on ESPN 106.3, Ken Lavica and Brian Rowitz, and a man we had the opportunity, the pleasure to work alongside for three seasons at Florida Atlantic as the head coach that rejuvenated, jump-started the FAU program before he headed to Ole Miss to take over the Rebels. It is Lane Kiffin with us here on ESPN 106.3. And coach, you started spring practice this week, and you broke the news of my new radio show here on ESPN 106.3. Pretty big week for you. And so I do want to ask you about Howard Snellenberger, because I know that he's someone that you got to know in your time at Florida Atlantic. And the initial conversation you had with Howard Snellenberger, who never had a shortage of things to say and opinions to put out there. What was the first interaction between Howard Snellenberger and Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, he was around, came to the press conference. So I saw him that day. And he was excited we were there. That was obviously a great feeling, excited that you're there, and knew my dad. And so it was great from the start. And not just because it was definitely, there were still a lot of the same people around, you know, from a standpoint, and, you know, people close to him and close to the program, Richard Stoller, Danny Moore, Abdul, that, you know, they were, they would tell me stories about him and how he really started it. So then I would go to him and say, okay, how did you do this? And I'd see him after, you know, a big win or after a bowl game. You know, he was excited as if he was part of the staff.
Lane Kiffin with us here on ESPN 106.3. Again, former FAU head man, now at Ole Miss. And when it comes to being a revolutionary, Howard Snellenberger certainly was that from an offensive standpoint with that pro-style offense and what he asked the quarterback to do. What sort of things, you as a coach, just looking at what Howard Snellenberger brought to college football, what sort of things in your career have you taken from that and that offensive philosophy?
Well, he was ahead of the game, you know, with the vertical passing game and throwing the ball. really kind of similar to the Al Davis philosophies early on, you know, of how to attack people. And that's not always easy to do. You know, people always say, you know, you throw three incompletions, people boo you a lot more than if you hit the ball three times down. So, you know, or if you throw it on the goal line and don't make it. So, but that really goes to what Coach was. You know, he didn't care about outside opinion. You know, and I really, you know, respected him about that. As you look at his different stops, and he'd take a job, he'd do the best thing for the program, and some other programs didn't like him for it, some other fans, some other media. But, you know, when you talk to the players, the coaches that, you know, he played or that he coached with, or the players, you know, they were all just, you know, they just loved him. They loved being around him. And that's what matters at the end, is how did you treat people, you know? And so, you know, he's a great act to follow.
You know that that I spent a lot of time with your father when you were at FAU, and he was a constant presence in our broadcast booth on road trips. And you've learned so much from your father over the years. And I was able to work alongside Howard for a very long time. I was thinking about today, though, your dad and what he would have said when he heard the news about Coach Snellenberger passing. What were your father's initial impressions when he heard about Howard?
Well, he was a huge fan. You know, I look at them as very similar from a, you know, ahead of the game offense, defensive standpoints. And I loved being around the two of them. You know, I would sit at a table and, you know, after a golf tournament that they were at or something like that, and just listen to them, you know, like a fan. And just hear them talk, and they could remember stories, and they both have, I always joke with my dad, he can remember something 40 years ago better than 40 seconds ago. It has to do with football. And he's still, you know, he's 81 now, and he'll still tell you, hey, I can count to 22. That's all you have to do to figure out football. So the two of them are awesome together.
Howard Snellenberger said when you got the job that this was going to bring FAU back to prominence. On day one, he was behind you when you got the job at Florida Atlantic. And then after the Conference USA Championship and the Boca Raton Bowl win in 2017, he'd went on Alabama radio and said that Lane Kiffin has brought Florida Atlantic from the outhouse to the penthouse. He was a massive fan of yours. That had to feel extremely good to get his blessing. You didn't have to take his blessing, but the fact that he was such an open fan of yours had to feel outstanding.
It did. And, you know, I know everybody wants to think that, like, oh, if you coach somewhere, then everybody, you know, you want everybody to do good, you know, and, you know, you're a big supporter just because where they're at. That's not always the case. You know, maybe they say that in the media. But, you know, you could feel from day one he was excited about it. You know, as you look at the program, really had not been to that level really since he had been there. And so to bring it back that quick and for him to see that and be around for it is really awesome memories for me. I mean, I remember winning the bowl game, the Boca Bowl, and he's right there next to me, you know, with trophy presentation. That was really cool for me. And I would like to think it was really special for him because, you know, that's the program he created. It's like, you know, seeing your kid graduate college or something. You know, he created it.
Yeah, and it sort of comes full circle because you were able to come to FAU and sort of re-kickstart your coaching career and get yourself into the profile and into the opportunity you're at now at Ole Miss. And that really, I've always said that if FAU becomes that, that's a good thing, and you want sustained success. But if FAU can be a place where coaches know they can go and succeed and potentially move on to Power 5 jobs, that is a great testament to Howard Snellenberger, because that stadium is not there. Those facilities are not there if it's not for him. That all is a testament to the work that he did.
It sure is. And, you know, that job, you know, I remember when I came here and, you know, people call, hey, can you call AD for me? This and like big name people, you know, that had been at big places that maybe, you know, were coordinators now or something had happened, you know, that's all right. Hey, we saw you guys play. We saw the great stadium there, you know? And so, you know, it's a great job. He said it all the time, that people around him that were the same around me said it all the time, like, there is no reason not to win there, you know? And, especially when you travel around the conference, you go, okay, hey, this is the other stadiums, you know, versus ours is the other facilities, you know, and then to recruit, you know, So, you know, the winning in paradise, you know, it's very easy to recruit there versus the road trips that we would go on. Where do you want to go to school and live for 4 years?
That is a great point. That's an inherent advantage in every sense of the word. From a recruiting standpoint, though, as we talk with Lane Kiffin, former FAU head coach now at Ole Miss here on ESPN 106.3, he recruited different generations of his career, but same caliber of talented kid, whether it was at Miami or at Louisville or at Oklahoma or at FAU. And even though a 70-something-year-old guy is recruiting, he's getting that talent to come to Florida Atlantic and winning conference championships. What was his allure? What was the magnetism? Why do you think he was able to still relate to the kid in 1978 that he was able to do in 2006?
Because he was a football guy. You know, he was just, you knew that he was passionate about it, so the kids could feel it, I'm sure. Like I felt when he was, you know, what, lower 80s when I was there. So, you know, and I think when you've done it, and especially at the position of quarterback, like he had at Alabama and then certainly at Miami, you know, recruiting a great quarterbacks there in their production, you know, that helps you for years to come, you know, and even if it's 10, 20 years later,
yeah,
you know, use that recruiting. And so, you know, coaches are really good when they have really good quarterbacks. You see that. I'm not going to say names, but there were two NFL guys in an article the other day that are, you put as top five NFL coaches and they have losing records without that franchise quarterback. So
yeah,
the quarterback goes a long ways to making us seem like good coaches.
Lane Kiffin, are you going to be coaching until age 77 like Howard Schnellenberger did?
I don't think so. I've always said no, but you know, there's my dad at 81, you know, beating me to the office and, you know, last one to leave. So I guess it's in my bloodlines, but I don't see that happening. But I could see that potentially happening if it's a place and you get to live in Boca at that age. It probably makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Coaching up in the Big Ten at 70.
And like you said, if you can recruit good quarterbacks at 68, 70, and 72, you might be coaching until you're 77 as well. It's really good to talk to you, Coach.
There together when I'm 70. You'll be doing I'll be the head coach at FAU.
It'll all come full circle. Exactly. But it truly is awesome to catch up with you and talk with you. I know that circumstance is kind of unfortunate in which we're doing so, but congratulations on all the success you've had so far at Ole Miss. Love watching you and what you're doing there. And we appreciate you down in Boca. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys as always.
Thank you to Lane Kiffin as he remembers Howard Schnellenberger. And Coach Schnellenberger, like we were discussing with Lane, was a massive, massive fan of Lane Kiffin and was unbelievably proud of what Coach Kiffin was able to do with an FAU football program that had run into disrepair. And like Coach Schnellenberger said, Lane was able to take it from the outhouse to the penthouse. And Brian, Lane is not someone that is ever going to sit and blow you away from a storytelling standpoint. He is not going to pontificate often, but Howard Schnellenberger is a man who causes Lane to be able to reflect and to tell his favorite memories. And it was really cool to talk about a guy who comes from a football family, who has a legendary coaching father, and get the impressions of another legendary man who had been in the game forever. There's so many parallels mm-hmm. between the two, Lane and Howard Schnellenberger, in so many different ways. All in all, it seems like that was sort of destiny, the way things worked out with their relationship.
And the other thing with Lane, like, he prides himself on not doing the coach speak thing. If Lane didn't want to actually share his memories and his feelings about Howard Schnellenberger, he would have said no to us. There wouldn't have been that interview. But yep. He took the time out of his day to say, okay, I want to share my memories. I want to talk about Coach Schnellenberger and the way he talked about how, you know, him being there after that bowl game meant so much to him. Like, that is real stuff from Lane Kiffin. That's what he does.
Lane Kiffin and Howard Snellenberger, college football offensive innovators, offensive coordinators at Alabama under legends, one and done in the NFL as head coaches, but also championship head coaches at Florida Atlantic. The parallels run strong between the two. How about players that were able to learn under Howard Snellenberger? At Florida Atlantic, it's still one of the most unique stories in the history of college football. And what Coach Snellenberger was able to do in such a short amount of time, remarkable. And two of the more famous FAU football players that played under Howard Snellenberger are Mickey Grudy, Florida Atlantic punter, and my FAU football radio network broadcast partner, Chris Bartels, a walk-on turned defensive MVP, captain, and Sun Belt Championship safety in 2007. Mickey Grudy and Chris Bartels reflect on Howard Snellenberger, who passed away yesterday at the age of 87. That comes next as we remember the legend on ESPN 106.3. We continue our celebration of the life of Howard Snellenberger, the legend who passed away yesterday at the age of 87. Coach Snellenberger, the father of FAU football, and always good to hear from our next guest here on ESPN 106.3. He is currently the head football coach and athletic director at John Carroll High School, but myself and Brian Rowitz first met him and first got to know him when he was the punter at Florida Atlantic playing under Howard Snellenberger. It's Mickey Grudy here with us on ESPN 106.3. And, Mickey, thank you for hanging out with us for a couple of minutes and allowing us to hear your thoughts on the passing of Howard Snellenberger. And the basic question, and I think the question that has to be asked first when you talk about Coach, is how did you take the news? How did you consume it when you heard early yesterday that Coach Snellenberger had passed away?
You know, it definitely caught me off guard. I was not expecting it. It came from a text from a friend of mine who's on my coaching staff now, and, you know, he wanted to, you know, give his condolences for my loss, and I honestly didn't know what he was talking about. I hadn't been near my phone, and it definitely shook me, for a better term. But, you know, I mean, just what, and when in times like these, I try to look at things, and, you know, whenever I lose anybody close to me, I try to see, you know, and kind of look back and celebrate what they've done. And, I mean, what that man has done in football and so many people's lives, it's truly special, and I really hope that's kind of what people are dwelling on now. And it may be tough to do, but I think it's something special what that man has done.
How much does that man still impact your day-to-day life? Coaching football, being an AD, how much do you say, oh, yeah, that's a Coach Snellenberger thing that I do X, Y, Z now?
You know, one of the things I talked about in my interview with John Carroll was, you know, turning around programs is something I've kind of been, you know, curvy to a little bit, in a sense that, you know, I see what it takes to get a program to where it needs to be. And it's not about, you know, going to a spot and then as soon as you get success, moving on. And, you know, Coach Snellenberger kind of showed me that every place he went to, he spent time there. He lived there. He got to know people there. He turned around these programs and he had immediate success pretty quickly everywhere he went, but he didn't leave. You know, he stayed there. And I think that's something that he showed me and I truly admire, and something I look at every day when I go to work, whether it's AD stuff or football stuff. I try to do the best I can for John Carroll because I feel like I'm going to be there for a while, and I think that's something he showed me.
Ken Lavica, Brian Rowitz, talking with former FAU punter Mickey Grudy, played under Howard Snellenberger at Florida Atlantic, and he joins us here on ESPN 106.3. If you could try to describe what in the locker room Howard Snellenberger was like, what went on in the locker room? What sort of things would Howard Snellenberger try to say? Because we know he was verbose, and we know that he had a grand presence. What were half pregame and halftime speeches like from Coach Snellenberger?
They were very unique in the sense that, you know, if I were to come up with some of the speeches he came up with, I would probably have to think about it for a while. But just when I, you know, me be playing under him after all his experiences he's had, he would, you know, say things that would motivate people in ways that I still to this day don't even think of, you know. And just, the adjectives he would come up with are something that I will truly never forget.
Mickey, you're a South Florida guy. So what was the reaction of friends and family when he said, hey, I'm going to play for Howard Schnellenberger?
To truly be honest, you know, I thought it was going to be more people like, oh, you know, you're only going to FAU. But knowing that, you know, Coach Schnelly was there, people were like, man, you're lucky. You're going to be under one of the best coaches, you know, that's ever been around. And that's 100% true. And I kind of took it as that and ran with it. And really, I don't regret a single thing. I mean, pretty much where I am today in my career and the friends I have is because I chose to go to FAU with Coach Schnellenberger.
Mickey Gritty with us here, former FAU punter on ESPN 106.3. What was a memorable interaction between you and Howard Schnellenberger? Is there a moment that stands out where you tend to think back and at the very least sort of try and reconnect to a time that you and Coach had a memorable interaction?
So after I had signed my national letter of intent, and I don't know if many people know this, but I was actually diagnosed with malignant melanoma in my shoulder. I think a couple, maybe some people know about this, but
I did not know that.
I had to go to school, FAU, after I had gotten diagnosed and gotten some treatment and stuff, and tell the coaches because they didn't know yet. And once I had, when I got there, you know, Coach brought me into his office with my mom and stuff like that, and it was the first time anyone really has made, you know, showing me that there's a lot more to life than football. And he kind of said that, and he wanted to make sure that I was seeing the proper doctors and I was going to take care of the health side of things before I did anything else concerning football. And, you know, that's something I take with me when I, you know, when I deal with student athletes now who are dealing with certain things, that, you know, football isn't everything. I love football. I know you guys do too. I know he did. But there are things that are bigger than football, and that was something that will stick with me forever.
How much are you able to point to just his sort of grand visions, you know, winning a national title at Miami, the fact that FAU Stadium exists? How much do you point at that when talking to kids saying, hey, if you believe, you know, these things really can happen?
You know, there's some things we have going on at John Carroll. I can't really go public with them right now. But it's definitely with hindrance of him, how big you can dream of it. And I know it's probably cliche to say, if you dream it, you can achieve it. That's 100% true. And I think there's going to be some things coming out of John Carroll that's going to put us on the map. And I think that goes in part to him to show me that no matter where you are, you can make some big things happen.
I do want to ask you, and I didn't have the opportunity yesterday to ask Chris Bartels about this because he did not play in the stadium opener in 2011, but you did in that October matchup against Western Kentucky. You played probably a whole lot more than you would have liked in that game on the wrong side of 20-0, but that was the culmination of, to me, the culmination of Howard Schnellenberger's vision at FAU. The first game in an on-campus stadium. It's what he promised from the beginning, and it is what he was able to bring to fruition. If you could, what are some of your memories of that day? And with Coach that day, what did you notice about him? What was his demeanor that day as you looked to open the on-campus stadium?
You know, one of the things I noticed, you know, that he did is he kind of paused more than he usually did in a sense and kind of took everything in, which is something, you know, I kind of admired because, you know, even when I was coaching at Vero Beach and playing in these big playoff games and different things, you know, I kind of took it in more than I did when I was in high school at St. Thomas. I played in big playoff games, but I never really took it in. I just kind of was in the moment and just going through it. And that's something, you know, I've learned not even just from football, but, you know, even spending time with my daughter, you know, my marriage and different things. Like, I saw him pausing to take things in and looking around. And I think it's something that, you know, means, like, you need to enjoy life and don't let it just run by you. And I think that's something he did, especially that day. We definitely punted more than I would have liked, but I think that might be why I'm kind of more popular than most punters. I've been punting quite a bit, but neither here nor there. I think making sure you enjoy life's moments is something he definitely showed me that day for sure.
Well, Coach, it is always good to catch up with you, and I always get a kick out of the FAU players that I have called games for that are now into coaching. There are so many of them, and you're a shining example of that. One, the job you've done as the head football coach of John Carroll, but also running that athletic department. I know that Howard was proud, and he certainly will remain proud. He is someone who has impacted both our lives, and as always, we really appreciate the time with you, and thank you for being able to tell some stories with us as we all sort of try to process this. This is uncharted territory, but sorry for your loss, Coach. Again, I think it's a lot of fun to tell Howard's stories because we all have Schnellenberger stories. That is for sure.
Yep, and that's something I think we will all hold on to for sure.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you guys for having me, and prayers to him and his family, and may he rest in peace.
Thank you to Mickey Grudy, and now let's chat with a member of the first family of FAU football. Both he and his brother walk on starting safeties at FAU, but Chris Bartels is someone that was a face of arguably the most beloved team in FAU football history, the 2007 squad that won the Sun Belt Championship, and Chris anchored that defense, had a very, very close, almost grandfatherly relationship with Howard Schnellenberger, and Chris Bartels joins us here on ESPN 106.3. On this Sunday morning, we remember the life of one of the greatest to ever do it, and certainly the man with the most unique resume in the history of college football, Howard Schnellenberger. Joining us now here is a man that obviously I'm going to first and foremost pick his brain and ask his memories of Howard Schnellenberger. He played safety under Coach Schnellenberger at Florida Atlantic, a captain, defensive MVP, part of the Sun Belt Championship team in 2007, and someone who had a very unique relationship with Howard Schnellenberger. But entering his ninth year as my broadcast partner on FAU football games, Chris Bartels is with us here on ESPN 106.3. And Chris, this has to be difficult, I know. And you and I actually spoke shortly after the announcement was made yesterday about the passing of Coach Schnellenberger. But how did you digest everything? And you, your brother, who played safety under Coach Schnellenberger at FAU as well, how did you both consume this?
I think I was talking to Marcus Schnellenberger earlier in the week just about things, alumni, stuff like that. I just happened to ask about his grandpa, and he said he'd call me on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you don't have to. My grandpa went through something like this, and just seeing how it progressed to you know, his last day, it's tough. It's tough on the family. It's tough on you individually. And I told him, you know, exactly that. It's your family. You know, coaching is one thing, but when it comes to your family, it's something. So when I got it, I wasn't surprised. Felt for the family. Full force coaching staff, and then just start reminiscing of everything that he meant to you in regards to me as a player and everyone else who went through the Ox and who he coached at UM and Louisville and everywhere else he's been, and the impact he's had on so many people, and just the legacy he left. You know, he was the GOAT. He was the father figure of FAU, and you know, this is his baby, and we talked about it on the broadcast often, and it meant a lot to me and, you know, obviously to my family.
Your story is fascinating because you didn't play much in high school. You were not a prominent contributor on the high school football field, as I often point out to you. Yeah. But you decided that you were going to be able to walk on at Florida Atlantic. You, a young kid who didn't play a lot in high school, you're 18 years old, you walk on FAU's campus, and you see Howard Schnellenberger for the first time as you're trying to get on the team. What was that like?
Well, first, it took my high school coach calling Coach Schnellenberger and saying, hey, if you want a scout team guy for 4 years, 5 years, you got one, right? So When I got here, I just kept my head down. I didn't even want to talk to the guy because he's, you know, that type
of
figure.
Imposing, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just strong and a big dude and just his voice. And so just try to work through the ranks and earned a spot on special teams. You know, I think in my second or third year on the team. And, you know, that's kind of where I made my mark. But the only way I was going to make it was being tough. That's the type of guys that he wanted. Didn't matter what your 40 time was. Didn't matter, you know, how many times you could bench, but if you were willing to run through the brick wall that he put in front of you, then you were going to find a spot on the field. And that's kind of my mindset. I'm going to run through any wall these coaches put in front of me, whatever I have to do. And that's kind of the mold that he set for, you know, this. The foundation is how tough can you be on the football field? And Coach O'Connor would say it all the time. You're only going to do two things. You're either going to block or tackle. All the other stuff will come to it. And he made sure that you could either block your butt off or tackle, you know, whoever came your way.
Tough. That's the word that I've heard so often over the last several hours, the last day, used to describe Howard Schnellenberger. And I knew him in a much different way than you did. And we're hanging out with Chris Bartels, former FAU great, former FAU safety here on ESPN 106.3, as we remember the legend Howard Schnellenberger. But when I would do coaches shows with him, or I would do pregame interviews with him, or I would do the online television show that I did with him on FAU All Access, it's a different side of him, because him off the field was definitely sort of a grandfatherly, had a soft side to him, had a wry side where he'd make fun of you, tease you. But also I could see sometimes that leader come out, like when one time an interview I did with him got corrupted and we had to redo it. And he made sure that I checked the treble and tried to give me advice about how audio recording works. He didn't know a thing about how audio recording works, but he thinks he does, and he's going to try and coach me up on it to make sure the mistake doesn't happen again. Like, that sounds like Coach, right?
Oh, 100%. That's him to a T, and he would always try to throw out these math equations during halftime. And like pre-practice, post-practice, and it was always something about you get 1% better. And you multiply that, and the amplitude is magnified by a trillion. And then before the end of the week, we'll be a trillion times better than anybody we play. And we would just be like, he's not a mathematician, but I get the concept. We'll work 1% better. We'll put that extra rep in. But just he wanted you to believe and said whatever he felt was right for that moment. That would inspire you to be that much better, or to be coached up and adjust the treble or whatever it might have been. That's him.
So your time at FAU under Coach Schnellenberger, there were three-a-day practices, and Coach was legendary for that. In fall practice, everything would start with Oklahoma drills, and then you would have three-a-days throughout the course of the fall. But not only would you have three-a-days in the course of the fall, all of it would be leading up into what would be always a week one Power Five butt whipping at the hands of some major school, because that was, quote, advanced training games. To play for Coach Schnellenberger was to truly find out how big a man you were,
yeah,
right?
100%. The 3 days, again, you would go into 3 days. And you start off individual drill by hitting full speed at, you know, 7 a.m. Like, you wake up a little bit. Second practice, you're 7-on-7. And you have enough time to get lunch, maybe catch a 30-minute nap. And then you're back out there. Your pads are soaking wet. Hot sun. Like, what am I doing out here? Like, we're doing the same stuff, but not just with teams and still full pads. And you mentioned it. I mean, you got to be tough. By the time we got done with those first four games, I think it was my last 3 years, we played Power Five teams the first four games. No bye week. I mean, except for my senior year, we played Middle Tennessee first. But besides that, it was Oklahoma State, Clemson, South Carolina, Minnesota, or Kansas State, Kansas, Oklahoma State.
Just pounding.
And I'm like,
yeah,
what are we doing? But I think those games say a lot about who you are as a person. And he wanted to make sure at that time that if he was going to have a team that was going to be successful, it was going to be a team that was tough, that wasn't going to back down, that wasn't going to say, oh, man, I can't do this. He made you feel in the locker room that you were going to win the game, even if you were down 38-0 at halftime at Clemson opening game.
And, you know, in 2007, you did beat one of those advanced training games, Minnesota, at Dolphin Stadium. You know, you've said it a lot, too, that the type of player, the type of person that plays for FAU football now is just a little bit different than the type of character that played at FAU when you were playing under Howard Schnellenberger. And for a man in his 70s who wore suspenders and a blazer and had a pipe in his mouth to bring in all of these basically Power 5 college football rejects, yeah, who came from many of them unsavory circumstances, right, and he was able to command all of their respect. Again, as an old man, one of the most flashy and unique old men that you'll ever see, who dressed up to be on a college football sideline, which you don't see anymore.
Right.
How did he do that? How did that happen?
I think it's the experience that he had previously. You know, at UM, he's not just recruiting, you know, in the backyard of Boca.
He's recruiting
he's recruiting these guys, yeah, who have, you know, we talked about it, maybe a sketchy background, who, you know, might not have the grades or, you know, the background check to get into somewhere else, but take a chance on them. And back then, there's no transfer portal, you know. So if a kid gets kicked out of school, coach is going to go out and find him because he knows he's going to be an asset to the team if he does it his way. And I think having those previous experiences and being able to relate to every walks of life, like we talked about before, of, you know, entering a ballroom or entering practice or, you know, some house, you know, in you know, different circumstances, he's able to communicate that. And the strength that he talked with made people believe. And that's, I think that's part of, you know, to believe is to be strong. And it attracted a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. I want to finish with this, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Again, Chris Bartels, former FAU defensive MVP. You became a prominent part of that FAU program. You won a championship with Coach Schnellenberger. What was he like with you post-career?
He was a jokester.
Yeah.
He was a jokester. I would always say thank you because he didn't have to let me on the team. He didn't have to let me, you know, be a walk-on. He didn't have to, you know, pour into me the way he did. There's probably other guys who are more deserving of a scholarship, you know, on paper. But he poured into me, so I really appreciated that. He loved my family. He loved my mom. My dad would shake his hand, and he would say some sly joke to him. He would tell me to cut my hair. You know, not like all like, when are you getting a haircut? Like, soon, coach, I got it. And he's like, you look like you can still play. And grab my shoulder and, you know, have you been in the, like, just like quirky things that, you know, that my grandpa would say. My own grandpa was just a jokester too, and that didn't say much, but when he said it, you listen. Mm-hmm. And definitely that type of guy, and you know, he'll be missed. But you know, the stories and his legacy are going to go on forever.
And the single greatest whistler of all time, whistler of all time, right?
You hear his whistle, you could be on the other field, two fields away in the Ox, while he's over here. He blows that whistle, everyone's running up to him. You know it's him.
And I'm not talking about like an actual handheld
whistle.
No. It's his fingers.
Yeah.
It's his fingers, and it's insane. But what a man! What an absolute legend! And one of the names synonymous with Howard Schnellenberger at FAU is Chris Bartels. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us.
Absolutely appreciate you.
Chris Bartels here on ESPN 106.3. For a very long time, Brian and myself worked alongside Fred O'Connor in the FAU football broadcast booth. Coach O'Connor is a wildly incredible man with incredible insights, football and life. But he also was someone that took a chance working for Howard Schnellenberger. Near the end of his coaching career, decided he was going to give it one more go with Schnelly, and it worked out extremely well for both of them. Fred O'Connor, who was on the first FAU football coaching staff under the tutelage of Howard Schnellenberger, joins us next. Fred O'Connor on the way as we remember Howard Schnellenberger, we remember the legend on ESPN 106.3.
Yeah.
celebrating the life of Howard Schnellenberger here on ESPN 106.3. I'm Ken Levicka, the voice of FAU, and it was ESPN 106.3 that was the flagship for FAU football for the final 3 years of Howard Schnellenberger's coaching career that culminated in 2011. And my broadcast partner during that time was one of the finest coaches and human beings that I've ever met, and it is the coach, Fred O'Connor, and he joins us now on ESPN 106.3. Coach was on the first coaching staff with Howard Schnellenberger at Florida Atlantic. And so, Coach, I guess I want to start with this, because you and I could talk forever about Howard Schnellenberger, but at its base, what was the initial conversation like between you and Howard? What was said to get you to join his staff at FAU?
Well, he had approached me during his fundraising for the program, and I assisted him with that. And then about a month later, he said, Fred, we'd be interested in doing something part-time. And I had a position then which allowed me to do things part-time. But I found out very quickly there is no such thing in part-time with Howard Schnellenberger. So I retired from the position I had and came on full-time. And fortunately, I had retired from the NFL, so I was in a position financially where I could do that. But we both had worked for the same general manager, Joe Thomas, he in Baltimore, and myself out in San Francisco. So we had some common stories and common friends, and we never coached together, but we coached against each other. And we had mutual respect. So I certainly listened to him, and I was excited about his excitement. And so I went ahead and joined him. And Lord knows it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
We always talk about Coach Schnellenberger and his grand visions, which I'm sure you heard a lot of those early days. When you look at FAU football now with national headlines, with that stadium, how crazy is that for you to see and say, oh, Coach knew what he was talking about from day one?
Yeah, he did talk about it from day one. Matter of fact, we had a conversation about that in the trailer we first set up out in front of what is now Oxley Hall. And we talked about our careers and how both of our careers were really not predictable by our backgrounds and by basically where we were at this point in time in our lives. But we were a perfect fit. And I just jumped into his enthusiasm. And as you guys know, that I live with the glass half full anyhow. So It was a good match.
The coach, Fred O'Connor, with us here on ESPN 106.3, was on Howard Schnellenberger's first coaching staff at Florida Atlantic and a longtime broadcaster in the FAU football booth as well. Coach, I've heard you tell stories before where some of the first practices in the history of the program were spent in a gym with guys in socks. This is a guy in Howard Schnellenberger who coached under Bear Bryant, was the offensive coordinator for the undefeated 72 Dolphins, rebuilt Miami, won a national championship, rebuilt Louisville, beat Alabama in a Fiesta Bowl, coached at Oklahoma. And here he is in Boca Raton with his team in socks in a gym. What was he like during that time at the very, very beginning of the program?
Well, it's interesting. He was basically the same guy. I would say he was a little bit more accepting of some things that were not the norm. But basically the ingredients that go into football with fundamentals and effort and teamwork, he emphasized those things from day one. And I'll tell you one quick story. We had 100 and some odd young candidates showed up out at Henderson Field by the elementary school. Mm-hmm. And so he took over that practice, and we as assistants supported him, but he took it over and he ran them, I would just say, more frequently than they ever experienced in their lives. And then we took a lunchtime break, and we went from 120 down to 75 very quickly. So he said, well, I guess we know who wants to stay and who wants to leave. So that was the beginning of my real indoctrination to his style of coaching. In the gymnasium, we did exactly the same things that we did on the field, except we did them in socks. And he expected concentration. He expected good effort. And he expected us to fulfill whatever we had designed for the practice that day. We were not to freelance on our own. And it was a productive day, actually. I remember speaking to one of our players who was not so receptive. And I had a conversation with him. And I just said very simply, I said, you know Coach Schnellenberger's background. He said, yes, I do. I said, you know mine. He said, yes, I do. I said, well, do you think for a moment we're going to accept that behavior from you and that effort from you? He said, no, sir. And from that point on, it really permeated the whole team because all of the coaches demanded excellence. We did not compromise because it was a starting program. We did not compromise because we didn't have a facility. We were working to get things done the correct way.
Coach, you've been around some absolute giants of the football world, yourself included, of course. How did Coach Snellenberger compare to some of the names that you were around throughout your career?
Well, that's a good question, Brian. There is no comparison, and I say that with great respect. He is a man that you will never forget, and he came into my life at a point where my career was pretty much over and winding down. I had come to Florida to kind of relax, and he was so genuine in everything he said to you. It was, you didn't have to read between the lines with him. And I think that's why the players and the coaches and certainly you gentlemen who worked with him on the air and off the air, whatever he said to you, that's exactly what he was going to do. You didn't have to wonder, was he speaking between the lines or was he trying to get to another point? He was very, very clear. And I really, really enjoyed that. I, as you said, I worked with some great people. The next best man I worked with was Jack Pardee. And it's interesting, both of them, both he and Howard, were men of faith, and they were very, very genuine human beings, and they were great football coaches.
Ken LaVica, Brian Rowitz here with the coach, Fred O'Connor on ESPN 106.3. And coach, as the 2011 season went on, that 1-10 campaign, I mean, you and I both noticed it was wearing on Coach Snellenberger. We knew before the season he had announced it was going to be his last, and it was just not a fun season on the field. And I felt badly for him, but every time I would be in the same room as him, whether it was doing the online TV show with All Access or at a coach's show, he never, ever, ever let me ask him, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Not once, not until the end of the season. And I've heard a lot of guys yesterday and today say tough, tough. That's the word to describe Howard Snellenberger. And man, if that 1-10 season to me didn't define the toughness of Howard Snellenberger, nothing to do physically, but he would refuse to quit, just refuse.
Absolutely. And his attitude helped me through my illness. He called me pretty much every day for 6 months and offered to pick me up and have me ride around practice with him because he wanted his toughness to be absorbed by me. And he was concerned about whether I was as tough as I needed to be. And he wanted to transfer that into my personality. Now, the other thing he said always was that life is tough and it's hard. You might as well be positive because at least your positive attitude will make it less tough. So I think his positive attitude contributed to his toughness and his commitment to his family, to his wife, to his players and coaches. He always felt like he had to be the benchmark for behavior. And he certainly set a very high mark for us to meet.
In college football, you hear that all the time. Like, oh, they care about their players and coaches will say that themselves. But how much with Coach was it because it was so genuine that it helped, you know, bring in those players and ultimately see the connection and see the outpouring of love we've seen the last, you know, 24 hours?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He always said to the young people, he said, if you want to go to an FSU, you want to go to the University of Florida or Miami, you'll be part of something that has great tradition. If you come here with us, you will be the beginning of the tradition. And most of us like to be the beginning of something. And we hopefully hope it's always going to be something good. But he challenged them to set their own standards. And he always told them, which really impacted me tremendously, this is not his team. This is your team to the players. And he gave them the ability and the freedom to accept responsibility and to build a spirit within themselves that you cannot instill unless they're willing to accept. So I think that's the greatest feature of a leader is that you bring to people the ability to be what they can be, as opposed to making them be what you think they can be. You allow them to be what they can be. And he and I had many private conversations being the old fogies on the staff. And one of the things we had in common is we talk about sometimes things would go on in practice we were not happy with. And we would say to the younger coaches, you know, these kids belong to somebody. They're somebody's family. And that didn't happen very often. We had to do that. But that was a reminder from Howard through me to the older coaches that let's treat these guys with the respect that their parents would expect. And today you saw the pouring out of that kind of feeling of love that they felt from him because that's the way they were handled when they were at FAU.
I want to ask you this, Coach. How did a gray-haired man with a mustache who wore suspenders, a blazer, and a pipe in the 80s go into black homes in Miami and convince kids and their parents, come play for me at the U, and then do it again 3 decades later at Florida Atlantic, and as a 70-year-old coach with the suspenders and the blazer and the pipe, bring in players like he did at Florida Atlantic? How was he able to relate with kids at that age, with that look, with that style? How unique is that?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you an old man's answer, but I'm going to give you the answer. The answer to that is, in those days and today, with a pipe or without a pipe, with a mustache or without a mustache, with a beard or without a beard, if you treat people with respect and dignity, you will get responses that you expect. The moment that you treat people without dignity and without respect, you're going to get something that's really not them. If they believe you respect them, you will get them. If you don't show respect, you'll get something that really isn't genuine. And that's the strength of him. He was just so genuine. When reverting back to when I was sick, I walked into his new office in the administration building. And you guys know, we traveled. I was pretty sick for a while.
Yeah.
And he had a new secretary. And so I introduced myself to her. She went in the back to get him. And he came out. He said to her, oh, you know who this is? And she said, well, it's Mr. O'Connor. He said, no, that's Lazarus. He rose from the dead. And that's exactly how he made me chuckle, because I rose from the dead. And then he said, when we had that all-star coaching time in Texas, I came up to him at the outside of the hotel. He smoked a cigar and he said, here comes a member of my Dead Poets Society. So we knew we were not young. But we knew we were capable, and we knew that we sincerely wanted to be there. So, excuse me, it worked out for us.
Coach, it's always good to catch up. It has been a while, and I know the circumstances in which we're catching up are not ideal, but it's really good to see you and talk to you and hear some stories about Coach Snellenberger, and our best to both you and your wife, and here's to talking soon. And again, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, Coach O'Connor.
Well, thank you guys. And I'm so proud of you guys with your wonderful families, and your careers are going in the right direction. So we love you, and thanks a lot for including me.
Remembering Howard Snellenberger, who has passed at the age of 87, on ESPN 106.3, free ESPN app, and on your smart speaker. I'm Ken Lavica, the voice of FAU. Brian Rowitz, former executive producer of the FAU Football Radio Network. And we are sharing our favorite memories of Coach Snellenberger and also talking to those who knew him best. And Brian, it's gone from Lane Kiffin to some former players, but also we know that Howard Snellenberger, especially once his coaching career came to a close, he didn't go anywhere. He was an ambassador at large at Florida Atlantic. And what did that mean? Well, I'm not quite sure that Howard Snellenberger even quite knew what that job description meant, but what we did know is that it kept him on the forefront and kept him giving his opinion on how things should be done and what moves should be made in the athletic department. And one of the recipients of that, maybe the recipient of the most of those opinions, was new FAU athletic director Pat Chun, who took over the job in 2013. And I've always wondered, Brian, what Pat Chun thought of Howard Snellenberger initially.
Yeah, I mean, that is a man that is not afraid to share his opinion. So if you're Pat coming into a new job, there is that big baritone voice, that mustache, those suspenders. He's going to share his opinion with you.
Well, good thing that we're able to ask the man ourselves. Former FAU athletic director turned Washington State athletic director Pat Chun joins us on ESPN 106.3.
ESPN 106.3 continues to celebrate the life of Howard Snellenberger, and I'm Ken Lavick along with Brian Rowitz, and it's always good to talk with this next man who we spent a lot of time with in his time as the athletic director at Florida Atlantic, and he'll say he spent way too much time with Brian and myself, but he is now the boss, the AD at Washington State, Pat Chun, with us here on ESPN 106.3. Pat, thank you for the time. And this is unique because you came in directly after Howard Schnellenberger's tenure, his run at Florida Atlantic, and his coaching career had come to an end. And that's tough to try and advance the university and that football program after that. And so what were your first interactions with Howard Schnellenberger like when you took over as AD at FAU?
Well, just being being a fan of college football growing up and throughout my career, you know, everyone knows who Howard Schnellenberger is. But then you come here and you go into his office, and I guess you're taken aback a little bit with just how kind of a human being he is, mm-hmm. and how important Florida Atlantic was to him. And I guess I never really understood, a piece of his soul is in Florida Atlantic University, and that football program. Arguably him and him and Dick and Barb Schmidt have probably done more for that university than any people on this planet. And so it was really more. But Howard is a one of a kind. I mean, I can remember my first conversation with him. And you're just trying to feel people out, and he treats you like he's known you your whole life, and Howard doesn't really he doesn't hold back anything, and he told me exactly what he thought a successful AD needed to be at Florida Atlantic University. I would go into more detail, but there's some couple F-bombs I think you put in a funny way. So, but that's Howard. I mean, he always cared. His positive, if anything, the things I learned from Howard were his relentless positivity. He always talked about how Florida Atlantic University is going to win a national championship, and time was the only variable. And the first time you hear that, and being younger in my career, you don't understand. Like I didn't really understand how important positivity is to an organization.
Sure.
And what that does. And then you come to learn as you get a little bit older and wiser, and it's what he did in Miami, it's what he did at Louisville, and it's what really is going to continue to happen at Florida Atlantic University, is in the foundation of all three of those places is a person who dreamed big and a person who didn't let pre-existing ideals of what couldn't happen deter him from getting people to believe what could happen. And and look at Florida Atlantic, you guys have seen the growth better than most. It's a national brand now. People know exactly who Florida Atlantic is. Part of the design, whatever it was 20 some years ago or however long ago when they wanted to add football to add to the prestige of the institution, and Howard was a big piece of it. But I am a better administrator because of my time with Coach Schnellenberger. I'm fortunate to have spent time with an icon. And it's not by accident he won a national championship. You forget. I mean, the nice thing is getting to know Howard for those years I was at Florida Atlantic, you really come to understand where the greatness came from.
Yep.
And he doesn't get, because of his big personality, you forget how innovative he was. I mean, you talk about, he brought the pro, I mean, back in the 80s, he brought a pro style offense to college football. First one to do it. Split backs and get pro, and his ability to identify quarterbacks is second to none, maybe in the history of college football. So you learn all those things, and couched amongst all that is this great humor. He never takes himself seriously. He's always willing to do whatever you ask. I don't know if I ever heard the word no come out of Coach Schnellenberger's mouth. Mm-mm. But it's just who he is. I mean, he cared, he loved Florida Atlantic University. And like I said, I'm just fortunate to have spent some time with him, to learn from him. And, how much better did he make the world? I mean, just think how different a world we'd have if we didn't have a guy like Howard Schnellenberger walking the earth of the time we had him.
Along those lines of those big goals, when you arrive to a job, obviously you have your goals. But when you hear him talk and realize that a lot of these goals he puts out there, they came true, how much does that make you sort of change, say, you know what, maybe I need to dream a little bit bigger with some of this stuff?
Well, you're absolutely right. It really, you know, I think what's his saying, to believe is to be strong. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, coming, you know, the thing that grew the most in me, and I'll be at the first to tell you, I'll tell you the two people that impacted me the most. There was Howard Schnellenberger and Barb Schmidt, and the power of the mind and the power of belief and the power of positivity, and how you can't do anything without belief and without positivity, because you can get more done with both those. And you'd have to understand where, because even when I took over at Florida Atlantic, you know, they hired a coach before I got there. You know, they had hired Howard's replacement. And Howard cared so much about that program. And
yeah.
And just watching the class in which he comported himself, because he wanted what's best for Florida Atlantic. He could see there are things that we needed to do better. You know, he made sure that he communicated with me appropriately and didn't want to meddle with any of the football coaches. He just wanted to make sure that Florida Atlantic was put in positions to be successful and to win. But within all that was just this sheer belief that we can do anything possible. We can do whatever we wanted to put our minds to do at Florida Atlantic. And that's why, you know, and to Howard's credit, he did the same thing at Miami and it worked. He did the same thing at Louisville and it's worked. And it's going to continue to work at Florida Atlantic University.
Here with former FAU athletic director Pat Shun, now at Washington State. Ken Lavica, Brian Rowitz with Pat, talking Howard Schnellenberger, who passed away yesterday at age 87. We're in a world now, Pat, where it is expected that a big-time college football coach is going to be sort of kept reined in. They're going to, if they're public, they're going to do things with media that they like or that's going to serve them best. They are going to keep themselves behind a little bit of a wall and protected. Howard was not that at all. I never saw him say no to anybody who wanted to take a photograph, no matter the circumstance, even if it was completely blowing up anything him and I were doing. He had his group of people that were loyal to him to the absolute end in Boca and surrounding areas. He would hang out with students. He would go to the different sporting events. He had one of the most magnetic personalities of any human being I've ever met in my entire life.
Absolutely. And that's why it was what made him a great coach. Players wanted to play for him. But he was so kind to people. I mean, I don't know if that's, if you didn't know Howard, like if I never got to know Howard, I would not have understood the kind soul that he really truly was, because you're absolutely right. There wasn't, you on the outside looking in, you see a guy signing autographs and, until you know Howard, it's, you know what, that's who he is. I mean, if he could put a smile on someone's face, if signing a piece of paper, taking a picture meant someone to, from an 80-year-old to an 8-year-old, he didn't care. And that's kind of what made Howard so endearing. He was a genuine kind soul, who touched people through college football. And really, like I said, he made the world a better place. And, I'm one who am disappointed that he's not in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Obviously it's sad that he's not, that he's passed away, but, hopefully this gets the discussion going at a higher fervor that, here's one of the great minds in college football history. I don't know how you can have a College Football Hall of Fame without Howard Schnellenberger in it.
How good does it make you feel seeing the outpouring of love for him and realizing that the feelings you have about him, it really is everybody? It's been decades of people saying, yeah, that's who he is. He wasn't just putting on a front because, hey, got to impress the new AD. So how does that make you feel seeing the outpouring of love?
Well, it shows who he was. I mean, here's a guy for the vast majority of his life. Since his first days, probably as a college football player, putting a helmet on, he consistently treated people right. And when you see an outpouring of love, it's a lesson for all of us. When you see an outpouring of love like this, when someone passes away, I mean, this is not about the outpouring of love, and the stories you hear are not about the coach that won the first national championship at the University of Miami. That's a line on his resume. It's because people genuinely care and love Howard Schnellenberger and Beverly, for that matter, because they wave the way they've treated people throughout their entire lives. And that at the end of the day is what made Howard so special. He understood the importance of relationships. He's like I said, we've all sat there and listened to his stories and laughed to it till we had tears coming out. We've seen him put smile on people's faces. We've seen him, lift people's spirits up, and that's why you see the outpouring of love, because I promise you, he's done that his entire life. He is just that type type of person that understands, hey, I can lift other people. And he did it through coaching, he did it through his words, and he did it through his deeds. Absolutely.
Over the final few years of his life, he was honored into the University of Miami Ring of Honor, and Louisville named its football complex after him, and countless honors. And he sort of made the grand tour of some of his college stops and got the proper admiration. But I got the sense that nothing touched him more than the statue and the renaming of Howard Schnellenberger Field. What were those discussions like? I mean, I'm sure they were no-brainers, but you want to do those things the right way as well. What were those planning and discussions like?
Well, the statue predated my arrival, so that was done by the previous regime. But I know in talking with them, I mean, specifically Dick Schmidt, I mean, you talk about a family that wanted to make sure that Florida Atlantic honors its legend the appropriate way. And there's no person who should have their name on that field other than Howard Schnellenberger. And it is pretty unique because you're talking about, you know, one of the premier college football programs. You know, let me rephrase it. He made Miami one of the premier college football programs. Mm-hmm. Louisville is a Power Five program, but for whatever reason, that Florida Atlantic University meant so much to Howard. And, you know, that says something about who he is and Florida Atlantic and why, I mean, it's pretty amazing the story that how those two entities collided and ended up together. The DNA for winning will always be what Howard did. It's why Lane was so successful there, because, you know, the reality is, hey, in South Florida, you need a coach with a big personality and a big playbook, and can elevate quarterbacks, and I'm sure Coach Taggart is in that same realm as well. And it's like I said, it's like all these places, everyone has something in their DNA, and forever till the end of time, Howard will be in the DNA of Florida Atlantic. And it's cool to see coaches that profile like him that'll continue to have success at Florida Atlantic.
Fascinating perspective from Pat Shunn, who is the only administrator in the history of college football to work alongside Howard Schnellenberger as ultra opinionated ambassador at large. And so that in and of itself was,
that is who he was. Ultra. Yeah, absolutely. He, you know, Howard, he did not shy away with any of his opinions, but all with a loving grandfatherly touch. And I will forever be blessed that I had spent time with him and love him. And we'll, you know, like I said, we're all fortunate to have spent time with Howard Schnellenberger. He's one of a kind. He's an icon, and thank God that he walked this earth for as long as he did.
Former FAU AD and current Washington State Athletic Director Pat Shunn, thank you so much for spending some time with us and telling some Howard stories.
All right, we'll talk to you guys sooner than later.
We continue to celebrate the life of Howard Schnellenberger here on ESPN 106.3. I'm the voice of FAU, Ken Lavica. Brian Rowitz, former executive producer on the FAU Football Radio Network, had an absolute honor being able to work alongside Howard Schnellenberger, and the pleasure of working alongside Howard Schnellenberger. And we've talked to two former FAU players under Schnelly, Chris Bartels and Mickey Grudy, but let's go back to the Miami days, all the way back to the late 70s and the early 80s. And for that, we bring in a man who you hear every Saturday on the call of Miami Hurricanes football alongside Joe Zagacki. It is former University of Miami center Don Bailey Jr. And DBJ joins us here on ESPN 106.3.
Ken Lavica, Brian Rowitz, back with you on ESPN 106.3 as we continue to discuss the life, the fascinating, the unique life of Howard Schnellenberger, former FAU head football coach and former University of Miami national championship head man. And There is no good a person to talk to about Howard Snellenberger than our next guest. He is a former center at the University of Miami and a former player under Howard Snellenberger. It is Don Bailey Jr., the analyst for the University of Miami radio broadcast with us here on ESPN 106.3. DBJ, really appreciate the time. And I do want to ask you, because we know Howard from a 2000s perspective, from an FAU perspective, what is a late 70s, early 80s Howard Snellenberger like to play for?
It has to be identical. I really believe that. There was Howard Snellenberger was not going to change in any era. He was not going to change for any person. He was not going to change for any player. He had the Howard Snellenberger way, and that was the only way. Now, he adapted offensively, and he would adapt defensively, and he would adapt as a football coach, but there was only one way, and it doesn't matter if it was at Miami or Oklahoma or FAU or Louisville or the Miami Dolphins or wherever, Alabama, I'm sure, with Coach Bryant. It didn't matter. It was Howard Snellenberger's way, and that is the only way.
For you, when we talk about Coach Snellenberger, we always talk about visions and the goals and the dreams. He's going to share that with everybody. What was it for you when you're around him that made you buy in and say, you know what, I'm into this, and I know what he's saying is going to one day come true, which it did, specifically at Miami?
Well, the first meeting that Howard Snellenberger had with his team, he told us that we were going to win a national championship. And it was not a suggestion. It was not an option. It was not a philosophy. That's what we were going to do, was win a national championship. And as you've heard, the only variable was time. Mm-hmm. Well, he accomplished it in 5 years. And everybody, you either bought in or you got out. And I think that's how he handled his entire career. And if you're a player for him, and if you bought in, you're one of his guys for life. If you didn't, that's okay too. You just couldn't be in the club. And he just, he set the goal. But the thing was, is that it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to get people to commit to it, which he did. And then it's another thing to accomplish it. And he was able to.
Don Bailey Jr. with us, University of Miami football radio analyst, played under Howard Snellenberger at the U, Miami Center. And so I want to ask you, DBJ, a young Don Bailey Jr. is sitting in his living room. Howard Snellenberger walks in to talk to the family, talk to the Baileys. What is the recruiting pitch from Howard Snellenberger?
So I'm the guy that really – I have a unique situation because – back then, in the olden days, you could sign a letter of intent. And I signed a letter of intent for the University of Miami under Lou Saban before the transition. And then
interesting,
my high school football coach actually was on the staff at Miami. He had left before my senior year, Joe Brodsky, and he was on the staff with Coach with the University of Miami. And then Howard came in and he said, Don, we want to see who's getting this job before you commit and you come. Because fortunately, I was recruited by other places. And Coach Brodsky and Coach Romero, who actually at one point coached at FAU, they said, Howard's the guy. You need to be here. And I came. I mean, I was committed to the University of Miami. I was committed to that program, and fortunately, he came in and kept his promise to all of us that if you work hard enough and you trust and you believe that you'll get to where we need to get.
The U, FAU, those were Coach Snellenberger's babies, two of his babies.
Right.
For you, what was it like seeing him when those two programs played each other? And you know, he was one of the honorary captains, and being around that, what was that like for you seeing that?
You know, I remember being at the FIU Stadium, right? And we had a game there. And somebody actually just sent me a picture of us interviewing. It was actually myself, Jim Kelly, and Coach Schnellenberger doing an interview, I guess, probably at halftime of that game. And, you know, I was happy for him, right? I mean, here's a guy that built the championship at Miami and built a stadium at FAU. And the thing I really remember, guys, is that I believe I'm going to be closed on this, but year three at FAU, he was one game away. I think he lost to Colgate in overtime. Yep. He was one game away, and I was at that game. I went up to see that game. He was one game away from playing for a national championship his third year at FAU. So, you know, I was so proud of him to be able to get back in the state of Florida. I was so happy for FAU to be able to get him. And then just watch him do his magic. You know, Miami doesn't win that championship without him. And FAU doesn't have that stadium without him either.
That is the truth. And we yesterday broadcast the FAU spring game, and I just found myself continually looking around at the stadium and at the field and at the surrounding area, thinking to myself, all this is Howard Schnellenberger. None of this is here. I'm not doing what I'm doing if not for Howard Schnellenberger. One thing that's fascinated me, though, about Coach Schnellenberger is not only his ingenuity from a coaching standpoint, an offensive standpoint, but also recruiting. He's someone that somehow in a tumultuous time in South Florida in the late 70s, early 80s, was able to relate to all walks of life in what was sort of a boiling melting pot at points. How is he able to relate to the kid from Overtown and also to the kid from Boca? How did Howard Schnellenberger do that?
They trusted him. Maybe the player, 18-year-olds are, I don't know what they think. It's been so long ago I was 18, but the parents trusted him. And it's not like he was an amateur. Hell, he recruited Joe Namath to Alabama. So, I mean, you look at what he has accomplished, and he had proof. He backed everything up. There was no hocus pocus or a sideshow of Howard Schnellenberger. You're going to come, you're going to work hard, you're going to go to class, and I'm going to teach you how to win, and I'm going to make you a man and prepare you for the rest of your life. It's a pretty big promise.
Yeah.
There's no promise of individual stardom. There was no promise of individual accolades. There was promise that you will have an opportunity to come and play for me and be a great football player by the time you leave, the best that you can be. But we are going to win games wherever I'm coaching. And there was no begging. There was no pleading because he was selling manhood. He was selling creating a great football player, and he was selling team.
Don, you're no stranger to being around and knowing College Football Hall of Famers with the work you've done at the University of Miami, first as a player, then as a broadcaster, and all the different roles in which you serve. How is Howard Schnellenberger not in the College Football Hall of Fame?
I don't even know what the College Football Hall of Fame is because since that has not happened, I no longer acknowledge them.
Yep.
They're off my list. And I'm not that kind of guy. But you take the greatest resume possibly, and I'd argue it with anybody as long as you want.
Totally.
In the history of the game. Not the history of Miami or not the history of FAU or the history of Louisville. In the history of the game. You're talking about a guy that won championships as a coordinator with Bear Bryant in Alabama, multiple championships. You're talking about a guy that was an offensive coordinator, coaching Hall of Fame in the National Football League and went undefeated with Don Shula. You're talking about a guy that won Super Bowls, that coached as a special teams coach, that coached with defense with the Rams, that with George Allen and Blanton Collier back in the beginning of time. And you look at what he did, and you're gonna try and convince me because of a few percentage points that you're not going to let somebody into the Hall of Fame when we just got done having the conversation in 3 years in a brand new team that's 3 years old to a national championship. But here's the other side that people don't want to realize. Howard Schnellenberger never scheduled. He gave his teams advanced training games. I'm at Miami, mm-hmm. my last day in Florida. What did he? I saw the schedule at FAU. He didn't schedule wins. He scheduled opportunities. His whole thing was, you put us in front of the best, we're going to end up beating them. So you're 5 percentage points away from what it takes to qualify. If Howard Schnellenberger can't qualify for the College Football Hall of Fame, there is no College Football Hall of Fame.
Amen to that, Don Bailey Jr. I was saying the exact same thing. Until that happens, it's invalidated. It is insignificant. It is irrelevant. It does not exist, because you're right. He has the most unique, the most remarkable resume in the history, not only college football, but football, period. And it's a complete joke.
Yeah, I can't even. I'm a fairly composed guy, but if we keep talking about it, I lose my composure. And the sad part of it is, now I'm not going to tell you it's too late, but they should feel guilty.
Yeah, agreed.
There should be a big sense of guilt about what's going on. And I don't want to even bring up the people's names who are in it and how much they didn't accomplish. Mm-hmm. Compared to what our Howard Schnellenberger did accomplish.
Don Bailey Jr. always making sure that the facts get through, the point gets across. We appreciate having him. Again, former University of Miami great, played under Howard Schnellenberger, and as the 2021 Miami Hurricanes season approaches, you can hear them on ESPN 106.3, Don Bailey Jr. and Joe Zagacki. DBJ, thanks so much for the time. Means a lot that you spent some time with us, and sorry we chatted under these circumstances, but really appreciate the stories.
Remember, guys, we're all members of Howard's family, and I'm always here for you.
Well, this will conclude our look back at the fascinating, the glorious, the successful, the unique, the eccentric, the incredible life of Howard Schnellenberger. Schnelly passing away yesterday at 87 years of age. Welcome back into our remembrance of the legend here on ESPN 106.3 with Brian Rowitz. I'm Ken Levicka. And why us? I think the explanation's probably pretty simple. And I suppose, Brian, that anybody could have hosted a show like this with as many stories as there are to tell about Howard Schnellenberger, as many people as he touched and influenced in his 6 decades of coaching and his 7 decades in college football. But you and I were up close with the man for a number of years, late in his career, but also being able to be with him in his final 3 seasons and see him at that age still sharp, still running a successful Division I college football program, still maintaining that effortless personality and his absolutely amazing jaw-dropping ability to sell the FAU program. You and I learned a lot. We were young. We're old men now, but we were young. And to be around Howard Schnellenberger in our 20s, at that point in our career and in our lives, I know for you that it was profound. And for me, it was a completely new experience and something that changed me. I mean, he had remarkable effects on our lives.
Oh, yeah. And like, the way he got us to care about FAU football, like, to us, it was like, okay, let's dive into this. We're the flagship. Let's make it into something. We took pride in that.
I had no connection to the football program before I came to South Florida.
Yeah, like, me too. I think I'd been to maybe 1 game growing up at Lockhart. But after that, and like, being around him and being around his investment in it, we were like, okay, we want to be part of this. You know, I went 10 straight years not missing a game. Now, I take my son there every Saturday, season ticket holder. Like, I love going to games with him, like going to the spring game and being able to be there with him. And that all boils down to Howard Schnellenberger and the way he cared about the program, the way he built that program. And for us to be around him, he still was intimidating. You know, still, if we screwed something up, having to go to him like, hey, can we record this interview again? Like, that was terrifying, but it still was profound. He still wanted to learn about what was wrong and, you know, why we didn't touch the treble, because he thought that was the solution and things like that. But like,
Howard,
that was a blast being around him on a week in and week out basis.
It was an absolute blast. And there was always a story to come out of every single encounter with Howard Schnellenberger. And, you know, we would have coaches shows at the Hooters in Boca Raton where he would be booking Hooters waitresses to join the coaches show.
It was a swimsuit contest. He wanted to get the inside feel of it.
I mean, it was 75-year-old Howard Schnellenberger asking, you know, FAU student Susie, you want to join the show and talk about the contest? Or the first time I ever hosted Florida Atlantic coaches show, and I had not met Howard Schnellenberger before, and in the first 2 seconds, I called it Florida Atlantic coaches show, which was the name of the show, because that's what FAU told me, and he, on a hot mic, live on air, goes, what the bleep? That's not the name of the show. That was my first literal 7 seconds with Howard Schnellenberger in my career as the play-by-play voice of FAU. We overcame that and developed a very strong, tight relationship, but that's what you got with Howard. There was no filter. It was up front and in your face at all times, and he cared. Uh-huh. He genuinely cared not only about FAU football, but about us. He would ask me about Vivian once I met her in 2010, and he would ask you about Lisa, and I remember getting correspondence from him and his just dear wife Beverly when our children were born. Yep. I mean, we're just talking about some of the finest people, and him, one of the finest men, to truly men in every sense of the word, to walk this earth.
I remember going to their house for interviews from the TV side, and he'd been retired at that point. And I want to say it was when Lane was hired. And you walk in, and before we can even get in the interview, they're asking about my kids. And, you know, Beverly keeps up to date on Facebook and things like that. And then we finish the interview. It's like, hey, you want to stick around for dinner? And I was like, well, you know, I sort of have a show to produce. But like
this is Howard Schnellenberger.
Those were the people they were. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with Beverly through this. But, like, that's who they were. And that's why, like, he was a real, genuine person. And we heard that from so many guests on the show. And it isn't just a college coach saying, oh, yeah, I care about your kids. Like, these are those kids saying, yes, he cared about us, and it impacted so many people, and it was cool to hear that from so many people today.
Well, we started working alongside Howard Schnellenberger as kids, and it's a big reason why myself and Brian now as an adult, as adults, have such an appreciation for Howard Schnellenberger, what he did, respect the legacy, respect the man, will fight tooth and nail for a disgusting posthumous induction into the College Football Hall of Fame. It absolutely should have never come to that, but he's someone that truly played a massive part in our lives, and for that, Coach, we're going to miss you, but what a hell of a run it was. Want to thank everybody who joined us as we remember the legend, Howard Schnellenberger. For Brian Rowitz, I'm Ken Lavica. Thank you for letting us vent, and thank you for letting us go through this, I suppose, therapy and talk about the man, the grieving process, and remember Howard Schnellenberger. This has been the remembrance of Howard Schnellenberger on ESPN 106.3.